Yes, I am. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Yes?
I thought you were playing something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's many things you can do with carrots.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
What?
Well, you can make a carrot cake.
There's many things you can do with carrots.
503-733-2970.
I hope you're not mad at me. P.S. You can touch it.
503-733-2970. Thank you, Scotty. 503-733.
Oh, someone's trying to get me back for the you need to get laid comment. Okay. No, you're trying to get pictures of Lisa Goddard.
For the what?
I don't understand.
I want to get laid tonight.
Yeah. No, Scotty, I have no idea. I walked back to my office to get some aspirin. Scotty's hunched over my computer just typing away like a madman. Like, what? He goes, I got the best thing ever. And then he's,
There's many things you can do with carrots.
And then he types on the screen, it's really relatable. You should play it. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, the real reason you are here today. Make way for the president, prophet, seer, and revelator of the AM 970 News Department, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Lot of big.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
There's a big nasty storm coming in this afternoon. Freezing rain. Gonna make for a wicked drive home. Especially bad around Gresham, where it usually is. And going east.
Isn't that true of everything, though?
Yeah.
Blank.
The bad stuff starts at Gresham and spreads east.
Blank.
People, what's still going on?
Damn it. I'm sorry. That's me. My computer keeps freaking out. Blank is especially bad around Gresham. Like, that's like a Mad Lib. You could just insert anything there. It's especially bad in Gresham. You should stay away from there at all costs.
So they've canceled the search for those, probably deceased hikers on Mount Hood due to the weather. Sheriff Joe Wampler of the Hood County Sheriff's Office says all along he was not looking at the cost of the rescue. He's looking at rescuing the men. It costs $6,500 a day. And many question the cost of the elaborate rescue effort. But Wampler said the bill is misleading.
Wampler.
His crews would be working anyway, and 90% of the rescuers are volunteers. So maybe they're not trying as well. We shouldn't say that. It's not even costing the military extra money.
It in.
This is being tagged as training. So we can either spend our time in a simulator or a simulated environment, or we can get the best experience in a real-world situation.
So really, now they're not even climbing the mountain because they think they're going to find the guys. They're doing it because it's like less time they have to spend in the simulator later this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
By the way, Oregon is one of just a few states that can make you pay for your own rescue if you are reckless. These guys are all reckless.
I was going to say, I think they've already paid.
Even if it only costs $500. The law is the result of three college students who got lost on Mount Hood in 1995, only to be found safe in a tent after $10,000 was spent to look for them.
Stay away from Mount Hood.
And it's only been enforced one time for a boater. Who took a boat on Mount Hood? And where did they intend to go with it?
Noah.
So that's that. So you know who really cares the most about this is Rosie O'Donnell.
Is my computer up now?
I hope so.
Right. News people, what's in going on in the news?
Hold on. I'm trying with everything in me to turn the sound down, but
no, it's loud no matter how you do it.
I was going to say, but really, there's no volume knob that helps.
It's piercing.
Imagine.
I can even hear that.
I'd like to thank the fine folks at K2 for giving their player no volume control. So I either have rattling my fillings or off. Anyway, this is Rosie O'Donnell.
This morning, people, what's in going on in the news? First of all, the climbers.
The climbers.
On Mount Hood.
The mountain climbers.
Dead, two are still missing at this point. And
the likely, it's not likely, they say, right, that they would find
them. Who is this chocolate love on The View?
Is she a regular cast member?
She's, can you see who I'm talking about here? There's Rosie O'Donnell. And then there's this,
put her name under her.
I don't know. She's very.
It's enormous. So long.
She does. She's very attractive.
Another storm is coming on Wednesday.
Look at those things.
How can you miss them?
They are distracting.
That's what I'm saying. They're massive. But she's very
attractive.
They're
huge. But she's not even, she's like a small girl.
Those are other mountains to get lost in.
That's the official stance of the CBS Radio News Department on this black woman's breasts. I'm Tim Riley, reporting from deep within inside a black woman's bosom.
Is Rosie complaining about these? Well, probably not.
Rosie O'Donnell's probably not complaining about these mountains.
Okay.
Did you really say that? That's fantastic.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
I'm just saying she's very attractive. Is she a permanent member?
She doesn't look like she talks much. She just kind of sits there.
Well...
Nobody can really talk when Rosie's there.
Let the girl talk.
You can survive in some of the holes, but with the new added snow, they're saying the chances are not so
good. Like, she knows.
Snow actually keeps you warm in situations like this, but after a certain amount of time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care. So that's
something that's interesting. And I don't, you know, this is not in any way to minimize the death or the pain to the families. No. However,
my voice is like a cheese grater.
People voluntarily do a very dangerous thing for sport.
Yeah.
And go up, like, with the storm coming and everyone knowing.
A bulldog.
Like, I read in the papers over $2.5 million.
That's right.
So far, the search has cost to try to find these three men.
And so what did she just say? She just said it's like $3 million.
They're finding two men, honey.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, all right.
Interesting to me to remember the images from Katrina with people on roofs for how long and no one coming and three men lost on a voluntarily sort of dangerous.
It's an ongoing debate with thrill seekers, especially in a situation like this. Here they are. They knew the storm was coming.
Oh. Her name is Jackie Reed.
They just covered her upper region.
Why would they do
her
something
area.
Like that?
Why would they defy? It's like painting over a Picasso. They've put up the Chiron that shows her name. Her name is Jackie. Is that how you pronounce it? J-A-C-Q-U-E? Jackie?
Yeah, she's French.
Actually, Jacquet.
Jacquet. Jacquet Reed, guest co-host. I wonder, is she a person of note, or is she just like, but I mean, is this like some, like where they, like for all the house frows, or like win a contest, sit next to Rosie?
I don't know, we'll have to do some research.
She is my new best friend.
They still opted to go out, and, you know, who should pay the cost?
Right.
When rescuers go out and rescue these folks, it's taxpayers.
But there's life-affirming to go for something like that.
Yeah, no, it's not life-affirming as the voice.
I mean, I would hope that if anything happened to me when I was in Australia, that somebody would have...
On Survivor?
Yeah, on Survivor.
But would you mind paying for it if they did?
Okay. I know that I'm pausing this a lot, but this whole thing is fascinating to me. So you've got Rosie O'Donnell, who is just like, some sort of weird, chunky, verbal freight train. And I know I'm the last person who should say that, but for the love of God, that voice is like having...
It's too much.
It's like having 10-penny nails hammered into your brain. And then there's this incredibly hot black woman who's just... Every time she comes on the screen, I'm distracted by
it. So I guess she hosted the nightly news on BET.
Oh, the Bet Channel.
The Gambling Network.
There ought to be...
Really? There ought... Okay,
this is funny. There ought to be some, like a new wave of black superheroes, just so they could say, like, to the Bet Cave. See, because it's BET.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's black entertainment television. To the Bet Cave.
Yes.
And get my Betarang. Anywho, So her name is Jacquet Reed. So she was from, she hosted the news on BET.
I guess she hosts it now.
Oh. We're not even watching it. We're going to have to.
I suddenly feel the need to get the urban perspective on things. It's serious.
She seems more suburban than urban.
I want to be a well-rounded...
She loves her fans and shows appreciation for them in any way she can.
Really?
Let's see if we can get her on the air.
Yes, I want to be a more well-rounded individual.
And this is kind of interesting.
Not unlike Jackie herself.
She's a co-host on a radio show, and she asked all the tough questions, but then she got fired.
Really?
Yeah, supposedly.
So she's aggressive.
We're interviewing Stephen A. Smith.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
So if I was, so
she's
line,
aggressive.
She might give me a little smacking.
And big breasted.
Okay. And then who is this? Who is this? This blonde woman. Now she was on Survivor. Do we know who she is?
That's the girl that made fun of Storm. Remember?
Oh, really?
Oh.
That's what I said. Oh, that weird girl.
Well, we don't like her.
Yeah, she's dead to me.
Yeah, she's totally.
And the last time I watched The View, it had like a completely different cat. What's her name? No longer on this program. Is she just gone now?
Maybe she's taking a holiday off. Maybe that's what that African-American woman is.
Yeah, she was on there last week, I remember, because I remember seeing clips from it.
Tim, I believe the term is negress.
Oh.
No,
you don't want to be incorrect.
The people of Oregon have a rescue policy and service that they voted for. So,
oh, really? Yeah. What does it say?
I believe that there's a fund, so the part of their tax money
is allocated
to...
What does she look like, this blonde girl? She looks just like
a million other blonde girls.
So maybe it's $5.54 that everybody contributed, and I think everyone probably wouldn't mind doing that, especially this time of year.
The guy's motivation, someone told me, that the one who died...
All right, let's say this about...
We wouldn't mind paying this because of this time of the year.
They're saying that we pay tax. Do we pay taxes?
I think we pay like
search and rescue.
We pay taxes to the man who then distributes it as he sees fit.
Yeah.
Let's all just say what has to be said here is that Joy Behar, who Is she not like a dead ringer for a younger Bette Midler, though? I mean, just like off the charts uncanny. She's sort of she is the Vicki Lawrence to Bette Midler's Carol Burnett. I mean, that really is. I never noticed that until just now.
And she's dressed as a zebra.
It's true. She's normally dressed as a cow.
He climbed the mountain to be closer to God. So it was a religious thing.
And it worked.
Let's go back and hear that again. Wait, there was comedy in the comedy gold right there.
Brother said that he'd climb the mountain to be closer to God. So it was a
mission accomplished.
A religious thing to him.
Yeah.
And I think that people tend to focus on a smaller issue like this. It's only a few people. Katrina was an everybody was upset by it.
Sure.
But it was an overwhelming project. Not that there
were. How about recently there were two people driving, I think, from North Carolina to visit a family here in New York, and their car.
Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell's wearing this sparkly red outfit. She looks like a huge bowl of Cherry's Jubilee.
He does.
She's all spangly and shiny. That's a bad look.
They were missing for a week.
Yeah.
And there was a 911 call, and the searchers looked for them for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the search was called off, and they were found, sadly, dead a week later. But this is two people missing again.
But no big search effort.
No, I'm just saying, what warrants, you know, 27 helicopters and 1,000 people looking? Whereas, you know, I just don't understand.
Well, the mayor with her family in Southern Oregon.
You know, the thing about Rosie O'Donnell is that
she has most of the facts of this wrong. 27 helicopters, thousands of people.
There are a skillion helicopters out there. Hundreds of millions.
It costs millions of dollars.
Where did she read this?
We have an army of robots climbing the mountain right now. I was just going to say, and you can tell the thing about Rosie O'Donnell. Do you ever, like, I don't know if anybody here actually watches The O'Reilly Factor, but every now and again it'll be on somewhere and I'll watch it because despite how personally repellent Bill O'Reilly is, it cannot be disputed that on television, he's terrible on the radio. He's an awful radio host. But on television, he has a certain negative charisma to him. He has a certain gravitas, as they say, a presence. And the thing about Bill O'Reilly on television is, and I can't watch it for more than like 30 seconds because it just infuriates me. It fills me with a deep black rage. You get the feeling while watching Bill O'Reilly on TV that at any moment he is just seconds away from like going over the table and just putting his fist right down the throat of whoever is opposing him. Well, Bill, I think that you're really wrong about Iraq. And you'd expect him to go, well, I got to say this to you, mister. Wham! And then just right across, just goes home, Mickey Spillane on the guy. That's how I feel when I watch Rosie O'Donnell on The View. Like, it's everything in her not to just take out a gun and blow away everybody else at the table. Is there anything else that's good here?
I don't think so.
Probably that.
Recently, right before these mountain climbing
guys.
That's good.
Jackie Reed.
He went, he left his family in the car and went looking, and they found him dead. You know, that's a situation, to me, that would warrant rescuers going out and looking. Well, I don't think there's any situation where rescuers shouldn't go out.
Right.
But it's who should pay the cost.
And do they, you know, is there an expedition?
There's really nothing else here that's interesting, and I realize now that I'm simply watching it because I want to see Jackie Reed.
Right.
Because
all the facts of this story are wrong as they're presenting it.
Because Rosie O'Donnell is just making stuff up.
I don't know where she read this stuff.
Rosie O'Donnell is just making stuff
up. Did you hear the blonde girl say that all people in Oregon choose to give $5 of their money?
Yeah, the blonde girl is clearly stupid. Joy Behar
She's probably from the House of Blondes and Bimbos.
Has a voice like a wearing blender. The only good thing about this is that Jackie Reed. And the fact she's wearing a shirt that is straining against her massive womanhood.
I mean, she looks like she's ready for the Oscars.
Really? It's true. I'm going to leave that up there. Just going to leave a little screenshot up there. All right. Here's Tim. That was a gripping 20 minutes, I'm sure, for everybody who isn't able to sit and stare at Jackie Reed's breast. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, let's move along to a Bush Watch, shall we?
Here's your Bush Watch for whatever the hell this is, Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Radio
He's
program.
He's the president, residence, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name.
Hang on.
Hey, what's that thing? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our realm. That's my Bush.
The president acknowledged for the first time yesterday that the U.S. is not winning the war in Iraq, and he plans to expand the overall size of the stressed U.S. armed forces to meet the challenges of long-term global struggles against terrorists.
That's a long sentence.
It was. So we have this comment here. This is from the Washington Post. He is asked by the Post whether or not the U.S. was winning in Iraq.
I think an interesting construct that General Pace is we're not winning, we're not losing. There have been some very positive developments. And you take a step back and look at progress in Iraq. You said, well, it's amazing. It's the constitutional democracy in the heart of the Middle East, which is a remarkable development in itself.
I don't understand anything he was saying. First of all, they've got him in like some sort of echo chamber.
We're not winning, we're not losing. There have been some very positive developments. And you take a step back and look at progress in Iraq, you said, it's amazing. It's constitutional democracy in the heart of the Middle East, which is a remarkable development.
Well, Saddam got health care, so at least we got that working for him.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the president at a news conference today says he believes the U.S. is going to win in Iraq, but he doesn't think that we wouldn't have our troops there if he didn't think otherwise. He says he meant the... Oh, in that interview, the president also said when he commented that we're not winning there, he meant that the U.S. is not accomplishing its mission at the present time.
My comments yesterday reflected the fact that we're not succeeding nearly as fast as I wanted when I said it at the time, and that conditions are tough in Iraq, particularly in Baghdad.
It's tough. It's a hard job.
It's a hard job. The president says the U.S. will win in Iraq, however.
I believe that we're going to win. And that, by the way, if I didn't think that, I wouldn't have our troops there. That's what you got to know. And we're going to succeed.
Yeah, I believe you. That, you know what it is? That's spoken with the confidence of a guy who knows that he will be out of office long before this whole thing is resolved. He will be off. He will be fishing off Kennebunkport long before this is ever taken care of. By the way, just note to the engineering department. The phones are working, but
nobody's calling.
No. Well, no, because someone's looking right here. And there are these, but we're apparently, the phones are working, but we're apparently dull. No, these, like this call, like, hello, Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Hi, I'm just calling about the Rosie O'Donnell comment.
All right, see, okay, hold on just one moment, miss. So okay. The thing is.
She sounds pretty good.
Yes.
Her voice is coming through in a clear manner.
The thing is, I can't, Scotty stepped out of the room, he typed that thing on the screen, I'll be back in a moment, which means that, like, he's just going off to do whatever he does. He's like the great, hold on just one second, please.
Okay.
He's like the great Gazoo. He just sort of vanishes. And so when that happens, I typically pick up the phones and put them on hold in here, and then he screams them when he gets back. I am not able to do that. When I try to put them on hold, they just drop. I put them on hold. Okay. Hello, who is...
Let her talk.
Who is this?
Oh, my name's Kristen. I just wanted to say that most of the people who are up there are volunteering, and so it's so irritating that she's saying that we're spending all this money.
We're spending $100 jillion a day. Yeah. That's jillion with a J.
Exactly.
Everybody ought to know that.
And the rest of it is the National Guard, and, you know, that's what they're there for.
Well, now, was that blonde woman just making that thing up about how we pay $5 a year or something for something, the rescue fund or whatever the hell?
I've never heard of that. I'm not sure.
All their facts are wrong in this program.
That's just... Wait, seriously, because you got to imagine...
They should stick to cooking and cleaning house.
Oh, you guys are funny. Well, all right. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you so much. We'll just go out on that tag. All right. Fantastic. Today on The View, knowing one's place.
I'm going to please the husband's boss.
Minimizing back sass. Cleaving unto thy husband. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson of the radio program. It's 503-733-2970. I think the holidays are affecting us all a little strangely.
Well, we're the only ones working still.
Well, see, okay, so now Scotty's putting it on, but Sarah, so I guess what I'm saying is when the phones are ringing and Scotty's not in, but I think you have to put them on hold with the top bank if you don't pick it up. Like, if you do the thing of hitting it and holding it, which is not like hitting it and quitting it. If you hit it and hold it, I think you have to do it on the top bank, not the bottom. This conversation means nothing to anybody listening. I'm just letting you know. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, at the White House news conference today, the president says there was a rush to write about the history of his administration, but he has more work to do before he leaves office.
God help us all.
Most historians, you know, probably had a political preference, and so their view isn't exactly objective. Most short-term historians. And it's going to take a while for people to analyze mine or any other of my predecessors until down the road when they're able to take, you know, watch the long march of history.
He is the Johnson of the new millennium.
To analyze mine or any of my predecessors. Okay.
Meanwhile, the president says he's done a lot so far.
So there's been a lot of
accomplishments. No disputing that.
But the true history of any administration is not going to be written until long after the person is gone.
Now,
it's just impossible for short-term history to accurately reflect what has taken place.
I have one thing to say. That is 12009. Just keep repeating to yourself 12009 over and over and over again. Someday our long national nightmare. Here's the thing about this, though. We really, you do have to appreciate how much you are going to miss this guy when he's gone, though. I mean, maybe not in terms of your employment or your taxes or the military or the fate of the country or healthcare or how the rest of the world views us or Social Security or the state of corporate America. Maybe not in terms of infrastructure, maybe not in terms of technological development, but just really in terms of sheer grist. We are living in a golden time. That's the thing where we really can't. Future comics will look back at us and they'll go, God, those guys in the Bush administration, they just had it easy. I mean, well, they didn't even have to work to make the president funny. They didn't even know the glory that awaited them every day when they woke up. And that really is true.
And yet he was reelected.
It's true. I wonder if maybe just it was comics. Do you suppose it was just comedians that really got out to vote in 2004?
Michael Richards.
Just like every guy with a box full of onstage props and an arrow through his head was like getting all of his comic friends to the poll. We have to beat this guy in. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Wasn't it just last week that we had some Rosie O'Donnell incident? And then she came out and apologized for racial slur, whatever, blah, blah, the Chinese.
Yeah, she was saying, the Ching Chung thing, yeah.
So really, the only thing that I have to say about this is Ching Chung, misinformation, Rosie O'Donnell, The View, Ching Chung.
There were no Chinese people involved.
It doesn't matter.
No.
I thought we were rid of her when she had the hand surgery and got off of her show. Remember years ago she had like some problem with her hand and had to have hand surgery, got an infection, and then handed the show over to that blonde woman from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Angrily beating one of her sisters.
I do remember what you're talking about.
And then she like left it for her health, blah, 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 and now she's back. Why is she back?
I don't know. You're looking at us like we're responsible. Like we somehow have sway. What was wrong with her hand? Was it...
I thought she got like a staph infection, and then she was making jokes about, look, I'm Harry Potter, because she had a scar in her hand.
Yeah, I don't remember any of this. I think you're really overestimating the amount to which we submerge ourselves in the daily goings-on of Rosie O'Donnell.
It's just, I thought she was gone, and now she's back, and it's kind of a Barbara Streisand, let's retire again thing.
All right. I would like to leave you with this thought, sir, just in case you would lay in.
We have assistance, play the run of a one for toilet seat!
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Corky.
All right, there you go. Thank you, sir. There you go. All right. Let's see. Let's get that one more here. Tony, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. What's up, man?
What's up?
I was wondering, are they going to give up looking for these climbers? And if they do, when they have to wait till spring to go up there and pluck them out of the snow?
Well, Tim?
Well, Rosie O'Donnell is calling an end to this today.
Rosie O'Donnell has had enough. I'm Doyle Redlin.
She's quitting?
No.
Barbara Walters can't overrule her, but she is not there today.
No, it's true. The iron, the hobnailed boot of Barbara Walters is not on set to keep order. I don't really know the answer. I mean, look, and he's gone.
You didn't like our answer?
Thank you, sir. What a strange program. You know the word for today's program? Unstable. Not bad as such. Today's program is one of those where it feels like one of the wheels is a little wobbly.
And see what everyone missed last Christmas when we weren't here?
That's what I'm saying. Everybody, Scotty is noting that they will go find the hikers like so many spring flowers. Well, I don't know if the snow ever really goes away on that part of the mountain, does it? Is that high enough that it's snow? Because, you know, some of those mountains where there's snow year-round.
Yeah.
So, yeah, who knows? And, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, God, if these guys fell into a hole, you're never going to find them. Gone forever. Fell right in the middle of the earth. Mm-hmm. Fell all the way to China, one might say. So, I don't know. You know the funny thing about it is, have you noticed that since reading this CBS booklet about racial sensitivity that we've really become much more offensive since reading it?
Mm-hmm.
It really has made us worse people. I don't think we made any comments on the Chinese until they handed me this booklet. Now it's like every 5 seconds. So
it's one of those things.
Well done, CBS. It's 503-733-2970. You know the thing about this I don't get? Oh, should we break?
Yeah.
Are we behind? All right. We should take a break here. We'll come back. 503-733-2970. Later on, we will talk to Brian Blank from CNN Radio. What else? We'll have more of Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. We'll talk about Tigra, Bunny, and we'll give the 2006 Dead Parade. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Rock, 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 rock
It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. In just seconds, we'll be rejoined by Tim Riley for the Ministry of Truth. The hell am I doing there?
1-800-500-TOM. I've never heard this whole bump before. It's kind of rocking.
It is, Sarah. This whole program's kind of rocking.
Stop.
It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. Rick. Oh, here's it for your last-minute shopping trip. The little market inside Clackamas Town Center upstairs next to Sears sells Viso. There you go, just so you know.
Have you tried going out there yet?
No.
Good Lord.
When you say there, what do you mean? Clackamas? Why?
It's
why would I...
Hell.
Really ask yourself why I would have gone to Clackamas recently.
Well, you and Laura are all about the shopping and stuff, aren't you?
Just say it. Say it. Come on. Say it.
What?
I know you're thinking it.
What am I thinking?
You and Laura are... Asian. No. You say that we're trashy.
You're a bit trashy.
Okay. No,
we all are. Why do you think I was out there?
No, it's true. I'm
going to Lloyd Center.
I was
going to
say, I do all my shopping at Lloyd Center, baby.
I'm going to eat in the food court. I'm going to watch pregnant teenagers. It's going to be rocking.
Pregnant blonde girls in Raiders hoodies down to their ankles?
Yes.
I try to do all of my shopping at Lloyd Center.
Everyone else hates Lloyd Center. I love Lloyd Center.
Yeah, Bath and Body Works gift certificates for everyone. It's, That's it, man. It's five. No, if you don't know what to buy your wife, that's it. Just go there. Here you go. Bath and Body Works.
No, my dream gift, like a gift certificate to Forever 21. Oh, ho, ho. You still haven't gotten me a birthday present.
I got you a birthday present, and I just haven't given it to you yet. It's a two-parter, and I got the first part with no problem.
I've heard this story over and over again. I understand it's a two-parter, and you don't have the second part yet.
I can give you the first part if you want. I got it in my office.
Fine.
Okay, I'll get it later.
Okay.
It's 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, here's a mental picture you'll never forgive me for. Rosie O'Donnell working on the ass line. Just trying to tie it all together for you. Thank you very much. No? All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, continuing with our bushwatch.
Are we still in
the... Oh, yes. It's vast and endless.
All right. Hold on. Let me just... Unlike Rosie O'Donnell herself. Okay, here we go.
The president believes most Americans don't want us to leave Iraq right now.
Retreat would embolden radicals.
Embolden?
It would hurt...
No, that is a word. Doesn't sound like it. It is a word, though. It can be tricky with him.
Dash the hopes of millions who want to be free.
Okay.
Meanwhile, there's a mixed reaction in New York City.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's...
They should continue killing terrorists because to prevent it from...
or just anybody.
...here into the U.S.
So I don't think it's a good idea, but obviously they know better.
Probably to get it done, but I don't like the war, period.
That's fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen... I would like to present you now the reason for George Bush's second term.
They should continue killing terrorists because to prevent it from coming over here into the U.S.
So I don't think it's a good idea, but obviously they know better.
Yes,
clearly.
But I don't like the war, period.
Hey, obviously you're better. Yes, if we don't fight them there, we'll fight them here, whatever.
So let's move over a street or two in New York to get more of the general public's opinion.
As long as we're killing people, I don't
care. If they decide to send more troops, I'd be okay with that, yeah. And I hope it all
Who
works.
Who are
I
these
hope those
people?
Troops come back nice and safe.
If you take them home, they can wait here until they come here to get us.
It's just ridiculous, really. I mean, it should end by now.
I don't understand. If you take them, what is that other guy saying?
If they send more troops, I'd be okay with that, yeah. And I hope it all works. I hope those troops come back nice and safe.
If you take them home, they can wait here until they come here to get us.
There is all kinds of syntax going on in that sentence. I have no idea what he's talking about there. You know, now that I've waded into this and I realize I don't care.
All right. Well, that's the end of the Bushwatch.
And there you go. The Bushwatch done.
He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush.
Yeah. Well, it just wouldn't be a Christmas party without a loaf of fruitcake. And while the holiday may be ambiguous, it is fairly maligned, according to the Society for the Protection and Preservation of Fruitcake. The group says people take pot shots at fruitcake simply because they never had a good piece. But these people at the Silver Spring Metro Station aren't buying that.
No. It's sticky and nasty and usually is hard.
Is she really saying that?
She's talking about fruitcake.
It's sticky and nasty and usually is hard. Too sweet.
I like my father's fruitcake, sure. I don't like the little candied fruit. He puts more like dates and figs and things like that.
I like my father's fruitcake.
And my Uncle Charlie's sausage.
Yeah, and I was just trying to
Daddy's
find that.
Daddy's cold fruitcake.
I don't know. See, I'm unprepared today. The
we're
phrase...
throwing all this.
I know. We're giving you gold.
The phrase... how was I to know? The phrase of the day is behind. That's really what it is. I don't even... Where is my Uncle Charlie's sausage? Sounder, that is to say.
I'm sure it's up there somewhere. I think you need some help over there today.
With the...
I want my Uncle Charlie's sausage.
It doesn't even make any point. And
see, in the news studio, I'll have the sound bites. And then everything will be...
I'm going to claim my own sound bites.
I can already see a power struggle ensuing. Now, in the news, see, because right now I play almost all of the sound bites except for the watches, which Sarah plays. In the new studio, though, we're all... This is just going to
so
be...
So we're going to take away all your privileges because Tim will play all of his news and I'll play all the soundbites.
It's a cluster F in the making, too, because we will all have computers that are patched into the board. So at any given time, we can all be playing stuff. So it's just going to be... The first couple weeks we're in that new studio...
And Scotty, too.
Disaster. Listen to this, though.
No. It's sticky and nasty and usually is hard.
It's so great.
Too sweet. I like my father's fruitcake.
I want my Uncle Charlie's sausage.
See, ideally, that's how that should have gone. Just retrofit that in your head so that it's funny.
Alrighty.
We back to Bank A.
We are
filled with sound bites today.
Well, it's a holiday season.
It's the international... Okay. I'm ready.
So getting back to Miss USA, that young lady who has been forgiven by Donald Trump.
Did you see that picture of her in USA Today?
No, I did not.
Oh, she looks where that? She looks a little chubby. Right? Maybe it's just a bad camera angle.
Maybe she's been eating Uncle Charlie's sausage.
Eating Uncle Donald's sausage.
Oh, yeah. She has a Margaret Cho face.
Yeah, well, no, check it out. Does she not look, Sarah? I know you like to look for flaws and imperfections in other girls. She looks a little chubby there. She looks positively Britney-like there.
She does look a little obese.
Yeah, certainly, yes. Yeah. All right.
Well, Danny Bonaduce says here's more to this story than meets the eye.
And he would know.
She said, I'm going to walk out of this being the best Miss USA you ever heard of. You're now the only Miss USA I ever heard of. This was a really good move. I didn't know you yesterday. Nobody knew you yesterday. Today, you're on Fox News Network.
He says this whole matter has been resolved a little bit too nicely.
Everybody won here. Everybody won. She won. He won. The television program that airs this contest won. There were no losers here.
Why are we asking Danny Bonaduce what he thinks about this?
Because we care about his opinion.
Well, I mean, no, that's a given. But, I mean, why did they ask him about his thoughts on this? Really?
He has a radio show, doesn't he?
There are 289 million people in this country.
He was asked by Fox News. That's where that came from.
Is that true? Is it from Fox News? Mm-hmm. Fox News is family-oriented. All right. He does have a radio, I think. I think he still has a radio program, doesn't he?
I think so, in L.A.
All right.
Well, Brian Seacrest has a radio show. Danny Bonaduce must. Or all.
I don't think Danny Bonaduce is able to curry favor the way that I believe Ryan Seacrest is able to.
Oh, that could be also.
I think Danny Bonaduce is... the bloom is off that rose, so to speak.
Hmm. Let's talk about the new Rocky Balboa movie, shall we? Sylvester Stallone says he understands why studio heads had trepidation about making this film.
If I was sitting on the other side of the table, huh? You know, guys...
Oh, boy.
Okay.
An hour and a half of that.
Seriously.
It's going to have to be closed caption.
It's going to be... And we got 48 seconds worth of these sound bites to get through here, so let's all just buckle ourselves in.
If I was sitting on the other side of the table, you know, guys that are 50 years old, I want to do a fight film. I said, but it's not a fight film. It's not a fight
film. It's a think piece.
It's just like the first one. It's not a fight film. That's what he does, but it's about this journey and this dilemma and... emotional roller coaster ride that everyone is going to go through.
It's like large sections of the inside of his mouth are just detached. It's like he's got a whole bunch of parts inside him that have fallen apart and haven't been repaired.
He could use a little spit.
He can't quite like open or close his mouth all the way here. And you know the funny thing, and this is absolutely true, this is not made up. You know that his dream project, the reason that he keeps going back and doing these big studio films, is because he's trying to get enough money and clout to, I swear to God it's true, to play Edgar Allan Poe. That's his thing. His dream is to play Edgar Allan Poe in a movie that he will write, direct, and star in. And so he keeps doing one studio, and none of them are successes. When is the last time anybody in this room paid money to go see to see Sylvester Stallone in a film?
1976.
Took no time at all. You were right there with that answer. Sarah Dillon?
That was before I was born.
Have you ever paid money to go see a movie starring Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah. He was in, wasn't he in that movie about the future?
No, that was Back to the Future. That was Michael J. Fox.
No, the one with Wesley
Snipes. They just sound the same now.
Was that him?
I'm sorry?
The one with Wesley Snipes in it?
Demolition Man.
Yeah, was he in that?
Demolition Man is a fantastic film.
That's a Brad movie.
Demolition Man is a great movie. There's no denying that. You're absolutely correct. There's indisputable greatness in that film. But then he did Cliffhanger, which is actually not such a terrible film. Cliffhanger's okay. And then he did Daylight, and he did Race or Cruise or Drive or whatever the hell that stupid car racing movie. He's done like 50 action films in the sense of some of them directed DVD that nobody has seen because he's just trying to get up enough juice, as they say, to make this movie where he can be Edgar Allan Poe, which it just is so astonishingly bad of an idea that it might paradoxically be good.
Stallone admits that on paper the film didn't look like a very good idea.
The last film, Rocky, didn't work. Left a bad taste in people's mouths. The business has changed radically, as you know, since then.
What, with the Napster?
The gambler spirit is not as pervasive as it once was. And I was, at the time when I started asking, 53 years old.
God damn, and he's 60. 60 years old.
Yeah. Rocky Balboa is a film that he could proudly end his career on. If
that's one of the main reasons I wanted to do this. When Rocky says, I just got to go out the way I got to go out, that's what I said to my wife. I said, if I never do another thing, ever, I would like this to be, if this is it, this is a good way to go.
See, now we all have to go see this weekend just so he doesn't shoot himself. That's the thing. We have to go see it just to stave off his suicide. Oh, God. No, I'll talk to Axel. I wanted to see, there's this midnight showing at the Geek Cave, and I wanted to see it last night. I just wasn't able to. And plus, you know, as much as I wanted to see the midnight showing so I could come on and talk about it, A, I'll see it tonight, we can talk about it tomorrow, and B, I think Rocky Balboa is, you kind of got to see that with a crowd. I think that is, there are some movies that work, but are better with a crowd. There's some movies, like Snakes on a Plane, of course, you had to be with a crowd. I mean, if you rent that now, Snakes on a Plane comes out next month, and it's already pointless. I mean, unless it's just got the best bonus features known to man, unless the commentary track actually is the recording of an audience there on opening night, there's really no reason for you to ever see Snakes on a Plane because it's quite possibly the worst studio film of the last 5 or 6 years. There's some movies are good, but simply better with a crowd. And I think Rocky Balboa, look, and I've told this story a lot, but I mean, you know, the original Rocky, and I'm under no illusions, I'm under no impression that this will be as good as the original Rocky, but the original Rocky is famous because at the time, I think it tested higher than any movie in Hollywood history. I think it was the highest testing movie in history at that point. Later surpassed by like E.T. or some crap. But the original Rocky, it was famous because there's like grown men, suits and ties, standing on chairs in the theaters, like openly weeping, which just seems crazy now. But you go back and you watch that film and you try to watch it with new eyes, and it really is just fantastic. So I'll go see it just for that and just to close out the whole thing.
And you got to remember, back during the time of the original, there weren't new movies coming out every week that people were fighting over to see.
That's true, and it was, we had, God, that was what, 76, 77? So we had not even really entered the era of the blockbuster, because the era of the blockbuster didn't really start until around 75,
right,
with Jaws. And so, and they hadn't quite learned how to crank out blockbuster. See, now, the term blockbuster just didn't exist. They didn't, nobody knew how to make a blockbuster film. And that Rocky was sort of an accidental hit, you know. And kind of the whole movie was made for like $500,000 or so, if that. So it really was one of the first films, but they sort of tripped into it. They didn't even really intentionally make it to be a phenomenon like that. But, and again, not unlike Jaws, there's this famous story about Jaws and how they tested Jaws, and it tested, you know, they do it on like a 0 to 100 scale with the audience, and Jaws tested at like a 73 or something without the music. And then they added the score, that famous, and then it tested at like a 92. It was like the score made the whole film. That's got to be with Rocky, too, because, man, that dun 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 dun. And as I, now I'm not giving anything away, but as I understand it, that famous Bill Conti score, the Rocky theme, the overture, as I understand it, they don't even play that until like the almost the very end of the film. And I mean, it's just so, the manipulation, I can already sense how badly I'm being manipulated by the filmmakers, but I don't care. As long as I'm manipulated by the best, it doesn't matter.
Meanwhile, a woman going through security at Los Angeles International Airport put her month-old grandson into a plastic bin intended for carry-on items and slid him into the X-ray machine. The early Saturday accident, bizarre but not unprecedented, caught airport workers by surprise.
even though security was not busy at that time. A screener watched the machine's monitor, immediately noticing the outline of a baby, and pulled the bin backward on the conveyor belt. The infant taken to Centella Hospital, where doctors determined he had not received a dangerous dose of radiation. Officials declined to release the 56-year-old woman's name. She spoke Spanish and apparently didn't understand English or American ways. She initially didn't want the baby transported to a hospital, but security officials called paramedics and insisted the child be examined. The grandmother and the child were allowed to board an Alaska Airlines flight to Mexico City and left her and the baby behind.
You know, the weird thing about this X-ray machine, what was that, the body scan, the body whatever it is they're talking about in Phoenix? I was thinking about this the other day. If you were a woman, that machine would be able to tell if you were pregnant or not, wouldn't it? If you were, depending on how far along you were. That's got to be kind of a creepy thought if you're a woman. You're walking through some, and maybe you don't know that you are pregnant.
A pregnant woman couldn't fit in one of those plastic bins, though.
No, but the thing, the body scanner or whatever the hell that machine was we had, they were in Phoenix, that it took a picture of your junk. And then they claimed that the picture's never seen by anybody. But if you were a woman, depending on how far along you were, you might walk through and then there's hey, look, you got a fetus in you. So, which is weird. And you got to wonder if that's bad for your baby. Every day, you know what else freaks me out is when you walk out of a 7-Eleven or a library and you walk between those two plastic sort of fence things, and it detects whether or not you're trying to smuggle a packet of Cheetos out in your shoe. I am convinced that those things are secretly, slowly doing something horrible to my insides. I can't even imagine how many of those I've walked through in my life, like going in and out of libraries and AM/PM mini markets. Slowly cooking me from within. Here's Jim Riley.
And it's time now for the Joy of Christmas.
It's time for another exciting installment of the Joy of Christmas, right here on the Rick Emerson Show.
School in England is accused of spoiling Christmas for the kids after a lesson telling them that Santa Claus does not exist.
Which he does, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All you soccer moms in Beaverton. Children as young as 9 were told that only small children believe in Father Christmas, and yesterday the parents criticized teachers for taking the magic out of the festive period. The blunder came after the year 5 pupils were given seasonal worksheets containing various festive classroom exercises. One began by informing the children that many small children believe in Father Christmas. Then it went on to explain that thousands of letters sent by these children to Santa every year
destroyed.
Are actually answered by the post office. The youngsters were then asked to write a pretend letter from the post office to a child explaining why their request for presents had been refused.
That is messed up.
It sure is.
Dear Billy, your father squandered everything on whores and cheap alcohol. Ho, 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 ho. You get nothing.
Number 2. Several new holiday decorations considered X-rated are being sold in Florida at a store.
Yeah!
They're being sold in Florida at
a
store
finish.
Popular with young children. 6 controversial ornaments, which can be purchased at $9 at Spencer's stores in Jacksonville and other parts of Florida, include an X-rated snow mat and reindeer. Television station reporting that these ornaments can be found on store shelves at the Regency Square Mall in Jacksonville in plain view of children and anyone else who walks into the store.
That's fantastic. What is it? I mean, does it... We have to adhere to all regulations handed down by the FCC. Does it explicate? Does it give examples of what these ornaments look like?
Let's see.
Or what activities are being engaged in?
Store workers said there are no restrictions on who can purchase them.
Sweet.
It is just sad they have to stoop to this kind of thing to defame Christmas, said Hillcrest Baptist Church Reverend Jim Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
It says we are nothing more than sexual acts or psychological beings.
Ornaments.
But we are much more than that. We're spiritual beings and have a spiritual history.
Yeah.
Why bring it to this level? It makes no sense to me. He has no fun at all.
Yeah, put a sock in it. Mm-hmm. All right.
So there's no explanation. Exactly.
All right. Well, Spencer's Gifts really is like the epicenter. Here's the thing that I fear. Is that someday after the Mount St. Helens erupts, that we're all killed and buried under layers of magma, that archaeologists or something, that miners from another planet are going to come here, and the only thing they're going to find is a Spencer's gift store? And that's going to be the representation of our entire culture. It is the epicenter of all things tacky. There is no... I would say that pound for pound, and I've purchased things there, don't get me wrong, But I would say that pound for pound, Spencer's Gifts is the trashiest. I mean, really, square foot for square foot, there is no trashier place on earth than a Spencer's Gifts. I mean, you couldn't hand pick a place that was tackier than that.
Fewer than half children age 7 to 11 think Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. Some 44% thought it was about Jesus, while 29% said it was about thinking of other people, and 24% says it was about giving rather than receiving gifts. A survey of over 1,000 children in Britain found 89% felt excited about Christmas, 79% happy. 1 in 6 surveyed said they felt sad, nervous, or left out during the festive season.
I feel sore and bruised during the holiday season. All right, fantastic. There's your...
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
I feel strangely drugged and bruised in my buttock area. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson. You all are dressed very festively today. I just noticed that.
How so?
Tim has got a... Well, you've got a red and green plaid. Is that plaid? Or gingham?
So, yes.
I can never tell the difference. Gingham is like little squares, right?
Yes.
Plaid, and then Sarah's got like a candy striper kind of a thing going on, like a red and white stripy deal.
And you?
Just,
a black T-shirt.
I'm dressed as Scotty.
What could be more festive?
I'm just,
I thought you'd at least be wearing your holiday chuck.
It's a black Christmas. I don't have any Christmas ones. I can't find them. I don't know where they are. I have my 4th of July chucks. I used to have my Jingle Bell Chuck Taylors, which really, I mean, really they are the weirdest shoe ever. But it's they're red and green, and then they've got little bells on the top.
We don't need to be wearing those.
And I flit around and grant Christmas wishes. Are we breaking? Well, why? Now, what's happening when we come back? Oh, is it, what's his name? Brian Blank?
Brian Blank. Are you going to be in here, Tim, for the...
You've got to be here for the unveiling of Brian Blank.
I suppose so.
And then we'll do the Dead Parade after that.
Kind of a blank slate, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Tim Riley. God bless us, everyone. We'll come back with Brian Blank, the Dead Parade. Later on, we will, what the hell else are we going to do? Well, we've got other crap here. I've got some stuff that I wrote down, but I can't read my own writing. Let's assume that it's going to be brilliant and entertaining. It's Wednesday. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.